Love Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-workers, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
One, got it. Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. Yes, we get that confused once in a while. I don't read the script always the way that I should. But I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We have got a fantastic show planned for you tonight. This is a show that you really, really, if you were going to miss a show, it probably should have been last week's show. But tonight, we've got a real live show for you. We've got my co-host that's going to be joining us momentarily. So we're just waiting for her to log in and press 1 on her dial. If you're going to want to speak to the co-host or to speak to myself, please, by all means, make sure that you go ahead and press 1 early on so that you can get inside the queue, and that way you'll be able to speak on tonight's broadcast. Let me go ahead now, because we've got a long show for you tonight. It's only for 1 hour, and it goes like in 15 minutes. Let me go ahead and bring my co-host in at this time, Lady T. And Lady T, welcome to the show this evening. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about you, how you do it, and what it is that you do.
Well, good morning. You see, good evening. My name is Lady T. I have my bachelor's in psychology and my master's in counseling as well. And, you know, I work with children. I'm also adult. And I enjoy, you know, talking and giving advice about, you know, relationships. Just a little bit about myself.
Okay, all right. You ready for tonight's broadcast?
Oh, I'm always ready.
Okay, very good, because we're ready for you. And, you know, speaking of broadcast, I was on a radio show today, kind of a last-minute thing. I was on WMBM. They were talking about the community, and I had an exciting time. I was only on for less than 10 minutes, but I felt good being on somebody else's radio show instead of being the host. Was actually the person who was, you know, being interviewed, so to speak. So I enjoyed that. All right, we're ready to get to tonight's broadcast. Tonight's topic is, why are some church people so unhappy? Why are some church people so unhappy? And before we go to the tonight's story, Lady T, why don't you just tell me in your own words, briefly, why you think some church people are so unhappy?
Possibly because they try to live up to everything, I guess, in the Bible to the T, when I don't think it's just when you should be, I guess, going word for word, is merely there as a guide for you. That's just my personal opinion. They're just holding themselves up to a higher esteem where I don't think anybody can reach that. You know, high is just merely there as, you know, a guide for you.
Okay. All right. So you're saying then that the Bible or church is just a guide for you? Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying the Bible is more of a guide for you.
Okay. All right. So why are the people so unhappy then if they've got a guide that's, you know, there for them? I mean, if you have a coach and you're trying to perfect your talent or skill, then what's the purpose of the coach?
Some people, I believe, are just overly critical of themselves. Like myself, for instance, I am overly critical of myself. I criticize everything to the T, and sometimes it can drive you nuts. And, you know, sometimes you just have to take a step back and be like, okay, you know, I tried my best. I did everything that I could, and I just, you know, sometimes you do fall short.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. That makes sense. All right, let's get ready for tonight's story. I think church people basically are unhappy because I think that that has to do basically with their personalities. That's who they are. You know, science says and psychology seem to be on the same page with this. They say that there are three ways in which we're viewed. One is the way we see ourselves. The other way is the way others see us. And then there's the way that we are. So I think that a lot of church people are no different than anybody else. It's that personality trait. It's that character trait that makes us who we are. You know, and other people see us one way and we see ourselves another way. So I think it has to do with the personality trait. But we're gonna hear from our audience tonight. Let's go to tonight's story. It's a rather lengthy story, so we're going to ask you all to follow along with us. And again, if you think that you're going to want to speak to the issue of the story, press 1 early on so that we can get your comments in. And send your comments in as well. You know where to send them, online at drjessewalker.com. All right, tonight's characters are Uriel, that's spelled U-R-I-E-L, Uriel Vicky, Wilma, and Xavier. Now, tonight's story is about four individuals who attend the same church weekly on a regular basis, and they are in good and regular standings in their church. They profess to be faithful members, energetic Christians, and working for the same master, Christ, we're talking about. They participate regularly in the affairs and services of their church. There is, however, one big problem that none of them seem to recognize. That problem is, of course, they are all seriously unhappy, and they don't realize it. The four of them are great friends who have formed a friendship. Uriel is an elder, actually, in the church and spends a great deal of time with his friends discussing the serious problems of the church that he hears in the executive board meetings. Vicky is a deaconess in the church and she's the top gossiper, telling everyone's personal business. Now, Wilma and Xavier, this happens to be a married couple who are both on the finance committee of the church. And you know how that goes. Both of them are gossiping about everything that everybody makes and even the people who have bounced checks and anything else that you can possibly think of. Now, when you see this group at church, you would think they're the happiest Christians in the world. But, and that's a big but, outside of church, they express daily looks. They have these long faces. And you would wonder if any of them ever even went to church or go to church for that matter. And at all, if they do, you would think their faces would not be so long. You would even think they would genuinely smile, at least sometimes. Challenges are, Uriel has no life outside of church, and he needs stuff like gossip to help him make it through his daily life. Same goes for Vicky Wilma as well as her husband Xavier. In reality, the fact of the matter about Vicky and Xavier, they discuss the prospects of divorce at least every 4 months because they really don't get along. And they have nothing in common except going to church and getting with their miserable friends to discuss other people. Now, these individuals have yet to discover they are no different than the rest of the world, who also face daily challenges like family problems at home, problems with their children, problems with their siblings, problems with on their job, problems with their spouse, problems with the in-laws and the outlaws, for that matter, problems with other church members, some of whom they don't even speak to on a weekly basis, problems of not getting their desired positions in the church, problems pretending to be a Christian in church, but are totally different outside of church. With all this going on, they still say they praise the Lord. They're also on a daily prayer line, but end of the day, they are unhappy. Let me go back to Lady T. Lady T, now that we've finished this story, and thank you all for your patience, Lady T, what's the point? Why the long face? I mean, they're going to church regularly, and they call themselves faithful Christians. What's up?
Mm-hmm. Well, just because you go to church doesn't mean anything. I mean, you find some of the worst people in church. All four of them are nothing but a whole bunch of gossipers. They gossip about every single thing that goes on in the church. I mean, for you to be on all these different boards and all these different committees, I would assume that they saw something in you that they would have thought you'll be able to keep some of these things confidential, but apparently they were wrong. They're just miserable people, in all honesty, because if you're going to church, I'm assuming that you're going there to get something, get the word, get something out of it. You're not just going to warm up the seat. If that's what you're doing, then you're going for the wrong reason. I mean,
okay, so when you think about it, you're looking at these long faces, and I mean, have you ever seen people who claim they go to church and you see them only at church, and they seem like they're happy, they're singing in the choir, and I mean, they're giving their testimonies or praising the Lord, but outside of church,
they're miserable.
They are absolutely miserable, and your face can tell that their faces can tell that, oh, what's wrong with her today? What's wrong with him? I mean, you know.
They can no longer fake the funk.
They can't fake the funk. There you go. All right, let's hear from some of our callers. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We've got a live one. We've got Lady T with us this evening, and let's see what some of our audience is saying. We're going to go locally. We're going to go to 305-298. We're going to start out with that one tonight. Who do we have with us, and welcome?
You have Mr. A.
I'm sorry?
You have Mr. A?
Mr. A, thank you, Mr. A, for joining us. Mr. A, thank you for joining us. Mr. A, why are some people just, some church people, that is, why are they so unhappy?
Well, I think you and Lady T hit it on the head. I mean, just as in the world, church people have an extra axe to grind. They have a sense of high expectations. As if I go to church, I pray to the Lord, they didn't bring me this man, and they have a sense of anger if they don't get what they want because they are diligent and they are dedicated to church. Church don't mean righteousness, nor does it mean that you have a stairway to heaven. So I think it's a mixed message there because people conflate the two. Because I'm a churchgoer, that don't mean that I have, you know, a sense of expectation. I deserve things just because I go to church, or I deserve worldly things because I go to church, or a relationship, or anything that brings on worldly happiness. And I think the more they go to church and the things that don't fulfill, the angrier they get. And they almost, just like Job, they almost want to curse God. Well, not Job, but they told him to curse God. So I think that's along the lines of why a lot of people in church are very, very unhappy.
All right, Mr. A, we appreciate your comment. We're going to ask you to stand by. And I think that there's a lot of validity to that. And we're going to come back to you. We're going to try to get back to you shortly, because I want to find out how can we change this. But right now we're going to ask you to stand by. And let's go now. We're going to go all the way to North Florida. Looks like West Palm Beach, 561-713. Who do we have with us this evening?
Well, good evening. You've got Charlene.
Charlene, thank you for joining us, Charlene. Charlene, help us make some sense out of this. Perhaps you're not one of those church-going people that has a long face during the week outside of church, are you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. My experience with the Lord is real and vibrant, and I'm happy. I'm happy, happy, happy.
Well, that's good. That's good. So how do you maintain your happiness? How do you be different, assuming that you go to church?
Well, first of all, I have a respect for why I go to church. I have a respect for the people in church, but that respect comes from a respect for God and who He is and what the purpose of church is. The purpose of church is many times misconstrued. Some people think it is a functional activity that they must do every week to please God, but yet they don't have a personal connection with God. And that's a totally different thing. When you don't have that personal connection, you don't really have a true purpose. You're just functional. In fact, you're actually dysfunctional. Because the function of the church is to have a place to connect with God and to have a communion with God and have a true, deep love for God. So it takes kind of refocusing on why you're going, why are you attending? Are you just there to see what Sister Sue is wearing and whose hat looks the best and is my hairstyle cooler than your hairstyle? If it's not, then I'm mad because you're looking better than me. That's the wrong reason for being in church. You have no respect for what church is. You just want to have it as a social outing, and the social outing is not always that satisfaction you're looking for. So what is your purpose? Why are you going to church? What is the reason for church fellowship? If you're focused on the right path, you'll have true happiness.
All right. That makes sense. So I'm going to ask you to stand by because there's a lot. So it sounds like to me you're telling me, just quickly in a nutshell, we're going to ask all of you if you would kindly confine your comments to about 20 seconds or less, not 20 minutes, but 20 seconds or less, so we can give a number of our callers an opportunity to express their thoughts, and then we'd also be able to take some of the comments. So Charlene, it sounds like what you're telling me is that people are perhaps going to church for the wrong reason, and this is partly contributory to their misery. Is that right, yes or no, pretty much?
Absolutely, that is contributing to their unhappiness. They're not satisfied.
Okay. All right, hold on just for a second. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go again to South Florida. We're going to take another call. Before we do, let me go to Lady T once again. Lady T, why can't you just say, well, you know what? Let me change my attitude. Let me change my personality. I mean, you're in counseling. Why can't people just do that?
I mean, you can change your attitude. Once you change the way you start thinking, I believe that will fall in line with everything else. You have to first begin to change the way you think about things. And the last caller just said, what is your purpose of going to church?
If you're not going there for the right reasons,
why are you there?
Okay, I think that makes all the sense in the world. Let's go to South Florida here, 305-803. Who do we have with us? And welcome.
Yes, Sonia Reese. I agree with everything that's been said, and I think that relationship with God is crucial. It's very hard for us to look at who we are. It's easier to look at everybody else, and that keeps us from being happy as well. With all the chaos that's going on, the crime, lack of jobs, looking at what Tom, Joe, and Bob have, and Sue, it's very easy to get off focus and forget that we have a relationship with God, to take that time out to spend with God, if that's our motive, and if God is our driving force, then we would be happier.
Okay. And I think that's one of what Charlene was saying earlier, along with Mr. A as well. We're going to ask all of you all to stand by. Sonia Reese, thank you so much. Please stay tuned and stay with us. We're going to try to get to as many calls as we possibly can this evening. Let's go and send in your comments online at drjessewalker.com. We'll try to get to as many of the comments as we possibly can. Let's go once again, 786. We're going to go to 786-503. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on here live.
Hello, yes. Dr. Jesse, this is Ashley.
Ashley, thank you for joining us this evening. Ashley, with Ashley, we have quite a few Ashley. I have a personal trainer by the name of Ashley.
This is your personal trainer, Ashley.
Thank you for joining us this evening. You did say that you would be on the show. This is Ashley. Ashley, tell us a little bit about yourself, your business, and how people can reach you.
Yes, I have a business located in South Florida. The name of the business is Fit for Life Miami. I offer boot camps, personal training, and an all-natural detox tea that helps with your immune system, but mostly to lose weight. And you can contact me through my email. It's fitforlifemiamibootcamp@gmail.com.
Okay, and is there a phone number that they can reach you at as well?
Yes, my number, yes, 786-503-1629. I'm very good at what I do, and I'm very passionate about my profession as well.
Okay, I can attest to that. She's very good at what she does, and she lives the life, the profile of being a personal trainer. And I'm so happy that you joined us. Now that you're here, tell us, why are some church people so unhappy? Perhaps not the ones at your church, but some who you see outside of church. So why are they so unhappy?
Well, it could be a number of things, and I agree with most of the things that have been said. But honestly, if you think about the tough times that we're going through now, the Bible talks about perilous times and the things that will come. And right now, this present hour, we are going through that as we speak. It's not as easy as it was back then, especially for Christians, and there are more tough times to come. So I think us Christians, how we deal with our situations, we take it on as a burden. you know, sometimes, and we kind of get sidetracked of what we should do spiritually, which is to go to the Lord in prayer or to meditate daily or to fast or pray. You know, we can get caught up in bills and just every life, everyday life crisis. And honestly, I think that has something to do with it.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Let me go to Lady T for a second. Lady T, should we buy into that because we're going through so much in the world today, the crisis? I mean, what about times past? How did those people make it through? I mean, are we just faking it, being church people, or what? I would think that we would, if the times are so rough, Lady T, I would think that it would give us a better opportunity to display more of a Christ-like attitude than before, right?
Exactly. If times are as tough as, you know, as some people will be running more towards the Lord, I don't really feel like times are that tough. I feel like they had it worse back in the days than we did. I mean, we really didn't have to deal with, you know, the outright hatred that they did back, killing people like for nothing. I mean, yes, we're living in the end of days, but I don't feel like what we're dealing with even compares to what, you know, our ancestors had to deal with. I just felt like that was a cop out. Sorry.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by tonight. We're taking off the gloves. We're going raw. We're going to go, once again, we'll bring in some of the comments shortly. But let's go here now. We're going to go all the way back to South Florida, 305-652. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker. You're on the air live. Who do we have with us?
Hi, this is Veronica.
Veronica, thank you for joining us this evening, Veronica. Veronica, do you go to church?
Actually, no, I don't. I haven't gone probably in over 10 years.
Okay. All right. So you're not one of those
people. Well, can I just put my 2 cents in anyway?
Of course, Veronica, please.
Okay. But basically, I feel that a lot of these so-called faithful Christians are just not just unhappy, but they are miserable. They spend too much time in church searching for someone or listening to someone who tells them how great God is instead of going out to find out for themselves how great he is. How about just going to the beach to watch the waves? How about going to the park and watching animals and listening to the birds? Or how about taking a drive up to the Georgia Mountains so they can see for themselves the beautiful world that God has created? I think that's why they're unhappy. They need to see for themselves how great he is. That's all I have to say.
Veronica, that is actually, I mean, when you think about it, you sound like an out-the-box thinker. Is that how you discover how great God is, by looking at going to see the ocean waves and listening to the animals and so forth and so on and looking at nature? Is that what does it for you?
Yeah, honestly, that's what I used to do with my kids. I used to take them to the beach and to the park when they were little on Sunday morning. I used to tell them every
right.
day here, this is what God created.
Wow.
This is what, you know, that to
so
me, that was their church.
Right, so perhaps if people got out more to discover, like you're saying, for themselves, perhaps they'd be even happier instead of having an unhappy spirit,
yeah.
Would you say?
Exactly.
All right. Veronica, we're going to ask you to stand by. We really appreciate that comment. Mr. A, we're going to try to get back to you. Charlene as well, Sonia Reese as well. My personal trainer, Ashley, we're going to try to get back to you as well. Let's go to, we've got to take some of the comments here. Let me know right now. We'll take some comments in about 7 minutes. But let's go now to South Florida again. We're going to go 305-300. And welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're live. This is 305-300-300. You're on your live.
Hello?
Yes, you're on your live, and we got background noise. Somebody's making background noise. Would you? We can't hear you.
Hello?
Yes, yes. Who do we have with us? You're on the air live. The world is hearing you right now.
Okay, you're going to be mad with me because I have a different opinion on everything.
Oh, no, we don't get mad
at
you. So tell us your name so we'll know who you are.
I'm Audrey.
Audrey, thank you for joining us, Audrey. Go ahead and give us your thought. We're not going to be mad at you.
First thing, why are you picking on, why you say church people? Why you say church people? Why you see angry? You see church people looking angry and upset. Do you see that? Why are you saying church people?
Well, that's tonight's topic. These are topics.
Because I don't see. I don't think the anger that you see on people on the wall is not just church people. It's people everywhere. The only reason why you identify as church people is because we expect more from church people. We expect them to be like happy all the time and jolly all the time. But it is not so, because a lot of people that go to church don't really have a relationship with God. So they carry with them the burden that the world have on them. They carry it into the church. So when you come to church and you see that look on someone, or you see somebody that go to church look that way, you right away think that church people look miserable or look upset. But these people, they don't really have a relationship with God. They are in church. Maybe they're coming to church to be happy, and they still can't be happy, you know. But because we are expecting the best from church people, and we expect them to be happy because they know Jesus and they know God, and they should. You understand? This is why we always say church people look miserable. She go to church and she look upset and she look mad and she look always upset. But that is not true, though. This is just people. People
okay,
on the whole that have the burden of the world that bring it on their shoulder all the time.
All right, may I ask you a couple of questions, please? Well, first of all, tonight's topic is why are some church people so unhappy? They all church people. And then secondly, I would like to ask this question. You, obviously, you attend church. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, your minister, I would imagine you have a great deal of respect for your minister. Is that fair to say as well, yes or no?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then with that in mind, if you come to find out that your minister was sleeping with three or four different women in the church and he's married, would that offend you in any kind of way or other?
No. No, it wouldn't.
You could still have the same expectation and respect for him. No, I'm just asking you now. Would you still have the same respect for them?
No, you don't have respect for people that do the wrong thing. You never have respect for them if they do things that is opposite.
So in other words, he's a member of the church, and you hold him in a certain expectation. Is that fair to say? Yes or no?
Say it again. Say it one more time.
All right. He's a member of the church, and he's a head member, perhaps, of the church, the leader. So there is an expectation of him in the church. Was that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Audrey, just for a second. We're going to come back to you. Let me go to let's see if we can find let me go to Lady T, and then we're going to bring in Mr. A back with us if he's still available. Lady T, so according to Audrey, it sounds like, you know, we're bashing the church people, but there's regular people also, but isn't there like an expectation of the people in the church? Shouldn't people call themselves so-called Christians be held to a higher standard or not? I'm just educate me, somebody.
I mean, personally, I think that it's a tough question. Should Christians be held to a higher standard? I mean, yes and no. They're human. Everybody makes mistakes. But then again, we expect them to lead by, you know, to be, you know, examples. We hold them in a higher regard. So it's a yes and no for me.
Okay, what regard do we not hold certain people in a higher standard, like the minister that I proposed to Audrey a minute ago?
If I'm going to a church and the minister is having an affair with somebody, I'm sorry. I'm walking away.
Okay. All right. So then there is an expectation if a person labels it as a certain thing. Okay. I just wanted to know if it was. Okay. Let's go. Let's continue with the phone line. And listen, Audrey, we're not mad at you. We respect the opinions of those, even when we may not agree. And listen, not everybody agrees with me. And I get it. I'm just trying to find out why are some, and that word some is in there. Let's go some more to the phone line. We're going to bring Audrey back in momentarily. Let me try to get to some of our new callers, perhaps first-time callers. Let's go to 917. 399. We're going to go to New York today. And we're asking everyone if you confine your comments to 20 seconds or less. That way we can try to get back to some of the people. 917-399, you're on the air live. Who do we have with us?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Angela.
Angela, thank you for joining us this evening. Angela, are you a happy churchgoer?
Oh, no. I've given up church years ago.
Oh, okay. And why is that, Angela? Just you were you once an unhappy churchgoer?
Unhappy that what the preacher was saying affected what I was learning as far as history. So it contradicted what the preacher was saying. So once I started picking up books and reading and going back and learning about different religions and how they were created, looking up the definition of what God means, what deity means, spirituality means, gave me a different look or different take on Christianity. And then I started finding out who created religion and how Christianity, Islam, and Judaism all follow the same scripts. And there's one common denominator that that created those three religions to keep people programmed to follow and obey. And I think Christians hold their own selves to higher standards because they are always pointing out what mistakes and hypocrites other people are, sinners, as they would say, or they will call you the devil if you don't comply or follow what they do in the church, when really church is a hypocrite itself, when you got people giving away all their money, when it's their last bit of money to the church. They would have their lights turned off, not pay their rent, not feed their kids, and give all their money to church. So I don't see where church is giving back to the community as far as things that could help the community. I see them doing just a little bit where people won't question or ask more of the church to do. And they also make people pay back things, like if they need to borrow money to pay their rent or their bills, those people still have to pay the church back. So, that's my problem with the church.
Okay, so that's why you stopped. Angela, we're going to ask you to stand by. We appreciate your comments. We certainly welcome them. It's a different spin. And we're tonight's topic is why are some church people so unhappy? We're going to try to get back to some of our callers, as many of you all as we possibly can. And we're going to be bringing in some comments. We have a number of comments. We're going to try to get to as many as we possibly can as well. Let's go now to 786-768. 786-768. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. You are live. Who do we have with us?
Hi, yes, this is Empress.
I'm sorry, this is who?
Imprint.
Okay, imprint.
Yes, imprint.
E-M-P-R-E-S-S. Imprint. Okay.
Yes,
I think I'm saying.
Imprint.
Okay. Tell us what your thoughts are. Do you find that some church people are so unhappy, just like everybody else, or others, perhaps?
Well, I agree with the last young lady who just spoke, because I am too more into spirituality and history. However, there is one point where I was in the church, and what I find to believe is that it really boils down to the mindset of a people. It's true that a lot of people have expectations, but they have to remember that people are people. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian, it doesn't matter if you're in church or out of church, they're still a person, and the expectations that we have on them it should not be tied around whether or not they're in a church. Now, as far as them being unhappy, I think that a lot of Christian people, not even Christian people, just people who are religious, they forget the basis of all religions. And when you go back far enough, the basis of all religions is love. When you go into the Bible and you look at Christ, Christ was love in its entirety. People like to read about Christ and think about what he's done for them and forgetting that Christ, that they are Christ and that Christ is in them, so they should be like him.
Emperors, I think that. So if we model what we believe that we're being perhaps what we're, what's being shared with us in church, is it possible then that our personalities and attitudes would likely reflect that? Pretty much, would you say?
Exactly, exactly. And if in the Bible it says it numerous times, I am you, you know, you are me, I am within you, we are one. But people like to look at Christ and God or whatever, you know, we see as the highest power. They like to look at the higher power from the outside view as the outside person. But if it's within you, you can't say that you believe in God if you don't, if you have not become, or you're not working to become Christ.
All right. Empress, I'm hoping I'm saying your name correctly.
Yep, you're right.
Impressed. Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. We do appreciate your comment. Let's go. They're telling me I got to bring in a comment right after this caller. We'll bring in at least one comment, and then we'll go back to the phone lines, try to get some of our people. Just before I go to this caller, Lady T, some of us are saying the same thing, that it's not necessarily the attitude. I mean, it's not necessarily just because you go to church. It's just who you are. In the case where Wilma and Xavier, this is a husband and wife, and they're on the finance committee, they're telling everybody's business. How is that church like, Lady T?
It's not church like. Like you said, it's just who they are. They need to work on themselves. It's definitely not church like. You're on a committee. You should not be divulging information that is not meant for everyone else to know about.
All right. That certainly makes sense to me that you should not be doing that as well. Let's take another caller, then we're going to take one of the comments that will come in. We're going to go live now to 786-306. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have with us?
Stanley.
Stanley, thank you for joining us, Stanley. Stanley, do you think that some church people are really unhappy, that they're miserable, or is it just, you know, I mean, are we just reading into something that's not there?
It's a lot of them. And the reason for that is because they're not satisfied and content. They expect more than what God have to offer them. But how I see it, if you're in the church and you really believe in God, the Bible tells you God is love.
Right.
And I have a poem that I start with God and it will end with God. And it goes like this. Where there is Christ, there is joy. Where there is joy, there is happiness. Where there is happiness, there is communication. And where there is communication, there is understanding. And where there is understanding, there is love. So you see, it starts with him and it ends with him. And otherwise, for somebody to receive this gift, you have to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So you could be satisfied and content and happy in life and enjoy what God has to offer you. That's what how I see a Christian
right.
should live.
All right. Stanley, we're going to ask you also if you'll be kind enough to just stand by. We're going to go to another phone line. But before I go to this other call, we're going to go to 305-300 in just a moment. But first, I've got to take they're threatening me here in the studio and saying I've got to take a comment. Several comments have come into the studio, and this person sends in their comment. Comes from – all right, let's get to that page. Darn it. Okay, they're sending in this particular comment, and it asks the question okay, here we go. This male writes in, he says, I used to be one of those church people who were so unhappy and fake it when I went to church, like everything was perfect. I think sometimes it's just people's attitudes. Lady T, let me just bring you in. I mean, we've discussed a lot of things. We talked about attitudes and personality. Do you think that this person is on point? Attitude?
Yes, you're going in with the wrong mindset. Nothing's going to change. So
okay, so then
play a big role.
Right. So what happens when, I mean, you got this attitude, you go to church, but then, you know, all of a sudden you get up and you got to read the scripture, you got to say the prayer, and your attitude instantly kind of changes because you're in church and you're participating. But the minute you get out of church, you even walk by somebody in the church.
And
you don't even speak to them. So, you know, so this person
is faking the phone.
Faking the phone. Okay, I like that. All right, let's take this call. Let's go to 305-300. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. You're on the air live. Who do we have with us? 305-300. You're live. Okay, perhaps we can't. There's technical difficulty with that one. We'll try to get back to another one. Let's go to, Mr. A, we're no longer, we don't have him. Let's go to Audrey. Let's bring Audrey back in with us. 305-300. Audrey, go ahead.
Yes, listen, how are you again? I'm here listening, and I have to say one thing. Everybody have to realize the church is the building, right? The church is a building. Now, everybody have a personal relationship with God. They should. And God is love. God is love. You have a lot of people calling me with different religion and different things that they believe, but we're talking about the church. The church is a building. Now, because the world expects everybody in the church supposed to be happy, joyful, loving, you know what I mean? They expect that. So when they see upset and anger from a person's face, they don't know. Sometimes these people, they just come to church. They're not really members. But the church is just a building. It's run like a business. You go to church. You have a board member in the church. And they make the rules in the church and stuff. You pay your tithes. You pay your offering. Help with the lights and everything in the church. The personality of the person itself is different.
Okay.
They're not all have a relationship with God. It's not everybody have that deep relationship with God. It look like church people, but if you are a Christian and you go to church, you don't even see those people that have that sad face. I don't see them.
Okay.
I don't
all
see
right.
them.
All right. We're going to ask you to stand by, Audrey. We got to take some more of these callers. Let me go back to my personal trainer just for a second. Yes, let's go back to my personal trainer here. Ashley, yes. Ashley, what do you think? Is it people who are really seriously, because I'm hearing conflicting stories now. I mean, is it really our personalities, our attitude? Why go to church for 20, 30 years then if you're not going to change inwardly?
Well, I think that does have something to do with it. Believe it or not, even though you may be saved or changed, born again, people still have emotional issues. And I feel that they need to deal with that. It goes back to the saying that says, so heavenly minded, but no earthly good.
Right.
And when you were speaking to, when Ms. T said something about my comment, I don't know if she understood me. It goes back to the scripture says, perilous times, people will be unthankful, ungrateful, lover of themselves. That's what's happening nowadays, and you can't get away from that. It's changed. Times are changing.
Okay, so we can get away from that.
So people do not know how to deal with those personal situations in their life. Therefore, it shows on their countenance.
Okay, so if that's the case, and Lady T, we're going to give you an opportunity to rebuttal. If that's the case, then why wouldn't, back in those days, like we were saying earlier, when the ones who are so-called Christians lead out with showing that, hey, there is the fruit of the Spirit, love, meekness, peace, long-suffering, joy, then why are we doing these things? Lady T, let me bring you in and ask you, why are we doing these things? And
I mean, it goes back to the person as a whole, to me. I mean, you have to change the way that you think. I mean, it's your whole. We started off by saying some church people are so unhappy. Everybody seems to think that we're talking about all church people. We're just saying some church people seem to be so unhappy.
Right.
And it's
right.
true. Some church people seem to be so unhappy. Some of them are in the church. It's not that if you're a Christian, you're not going to notice it. I'm a Christian, and I notice it. They fake the folk all the time. They up there singing, praising the Lord. They walk past you and say nothing. It's not that you're not going to notice it if you're in there praising God and you notice it. You see it. It's in front of you. I'm not blind to it. I'm well aware of it.
Okay, we're going to stand by just for a second, Lady T. Let's go to Veronica. Veronica, are you still with us this evening? Veronica, are you still with us? Okay, perhaps Veronica is not with us. She seems to have some technical difficulty there. Let's go then to, let's go back to Stanley. Stanley, we're going to go back to you for a moment and ask a question. We're going to read one of the comments that just came in from a mail. He says, some of these same people who are so unhappy, that right outside of church, from the same day, they will curse you out and keep it moving like nothing happened. How has their life changed? Stanley, can you answer that for us? You know, somebody just walked right by you, they curse you out, and they just came out of church. What's up with that?
Well, people like that, it's because they are very unhappy with themselves.
Okay. All right.
They're very unhappy with themselves when they do that.
All right. I'm with you, Stanley, on that one there. Let's go to the phone lines again. We're going to go to 300-5183. You're live. 300-5183, are you there? All right, perhaps not. Then let's go to Empress. Let's bring you back in. Empress, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
All right, Empress, we want to give you another one of these comments that have come into the studio. This particular individual writes in, this female says, I personally think women especially need a personality and attitude change. This is a female saying this now. I personally think women especially need a personality and attitude change, especially when we call ourselves Christians. What do you think about that comment?
Well, I think people in general need an attitude change. A lot of people, just as an overall view, people put happiness on something external. Something has to happen for me to be happy. I have to have this for me to be happy. I have to be around this person. I have to be with this person. I have to have this amount of people around me. Even with social media now, I have to have this amount of people surrounded around me for me to be happy. And that's where we all lose. It doesn't matter if you're Christian or not, in and out of church. If you put your happiness on something external, you have the possibility of something external keeping you unhappy. But when you find that happiness within yourself and you literally train your mind to be happy, period, it doesn't matter what on the outside shows, then that's when you connect with the higher power. That's how you know you're connected with the higher power, because you have that God, you have that Christ in you.
Okay, Empress, I appreciate that comment. That was impactful. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show, 347-857-1769. We're going to ask you to stand by just a moment, Empress, and then what we're going to do is we're going to go back. Lady T, can people change? Can people change?
Yes, I'm a firm believer that people can change. You have to work.
I mean, you've been doing something. You've had this attitude for 30 years. You've had this attitude for 30 years. Is change likely to come overnight? I mean, you're in counseling just like I am. I mean, how so?
You got to put in the work.
You got to put in the work.
You got to put in the work.
Okay.
If you're willing to put in the work, nothing is impossible.
Okay. All right. Let's just take another comment that have come in and let's reach out to this female right there. She says, I thought the people in the church were really like your family until I had a rude awakening to realize we're all the same with our own struggles. If we try to live more like Christ, perhaps that would really make the difference. And I think that that's what a lot of people have been saying over the air tonight, that, you know, change can take place if we try to live more like Christ. I mean, what does that statement really mean, to live more like Christ? You know, we hear so many people talk about that. Let me go back to my personal trainer just for a second and ask her, Ashley, what does that really mean, to live more like Christ? And perhaps that can make a change.
Well, I think it goes back to the scripture about how I think it was Paul it was either Paul or Peter who asked God to create in him a clean heart and renew the right spirit. And with that clean heart, you have to have the right spirit. That's the problem. We have a lot of people with different types of spirits, and they allow other spirits to come into them and allow them to be a certain way or to act a certain way. So it really is about the spirit, man. If you take care of your spirit, if you feed your spirit with positive things, with happy things, and it doesn't necessarily have to be with, you know, this world is so wrapped up in materialistic things, you know, sometimes you have to feed the soul, you know. And so you have those people who are grabbing at other things and not really feeding the soul. And I think the best way to feed the soul is by the word of God.
I think that becomes very, very important. I mean, you know, if you think about it, it's important. So now let's take another comment. And while I'm getting this comment in from the machine, Ashley, why don't you tell people how they can get in touch with you for your services once again?
Okay, well, there are several ways. I do have a Facebook page. It's called Fit for Life Miami. And you can go on there. You can always send me a message, and I'll be happy to answer you. I do have a personnel, media personnel, who will also contact you through email. My email, again, is fit4lifemiamibootcamp@gmail.com. So that's the best way to get in touch with me. You can give me a call. The number is 786-503-1629, but email is best.
All right, certainly. Okay, now, Lady T, we've got another comment, several other comments, and I've put up this one. This female writes in, she says, I thought the people, okay, we covered that one. I think some, this is a male that writes this one in. I think some of the church people are unhappy because they're not necessarily taught how to deal with the real world, which has people in it with multiple personalities. When someone snaps at us, we snap right back at them instead of practicing or exercising Christianity, which I really don't think people really know how to do. How important is that, Lady T? I mean, somebody snaps at you, you're going to snap back at them. You know, they say, like, when the mama tells the children, my mama says, if somebody hit me, hit them back.
Hit them back.
should we snap back on them or what?
No, you shouldn't snap back on them. I mean, I feel like, again, it has to do with how you're raised as well. You should not be expecting, I mean, some things are common sense. Come on now. You're going to snap back at a person because they yelled at you. It's common sense. And it also has to deal with how you're raised as well. I mean, you can't just expect the church to be telling you to do all these, you know, things. At some point, we have to, you know, hold ourselves accountable.
Okay, so someone snaps at you, you don't snap back. I got to ask you to stand by just for a second. We got to ask you to stand by just for a second. So you're saying, lady, you're saying your mama, never told you somebody hit you, hit them back?
My mother did not say somebody hit me, hit them back. My father may have said that, but my mother didn't say that. And I have older brothers. They'll take care of it.
See, so somebody's getting them. Okay, I got to go to Impress on this one. Empress, I hope you're still there with us. Empress, I got to ask you this question. Empress, first let me ask you, do you have kids?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Empress, have you ever said this to your kids? If somebody hits you, hit them back. I just want to know. I'm just trying to figure this out here.
Yes, I have two boys. I can't say it's a little bit different, but I have two boys. And, yes, they are taught. You don't go pick a fight. You're not looking for it. However, in this world, especially raising, you know, I don't want to pull a race into it, but when you're raising two black men, they have to learn how to defend themselves. Being, you know, a good person and having love in your heart, it does not mean you get ran over either. You have to stand up. So they are taught, and it's happened over and over again in the school, after school. If somebody hits you, you now have open door to retaliate. You have an open door to protect yourself. That's the way we explain it.
Okay. All right. So when you were growing up, Empress, if I may ask, were you ever told by your parent, mother or father or guardian, if somebody hits you, you hit them back?
Yeah, I have.
So is that basically the common language that people use that, you know, I mean, who wants to stand there and get slapped upside the head? Why don't we turn the other cheek, Empress? Why don't we turn the other cheek?
I teach my boys to protect themselves. That's something different from, okay, somebody just hit you, you just hit them back just because they hit you. You know, we have to teach our children to have that power of discernment and understand, okay, was it a mistake? You know, were they playing? You know, those type of things, you know, you got to kind of let slide. But when you come into, we're talking about being an adult and being in the world, that other, the other cheek thing, you forgive.
Right.
As an adult, I wouldn't snap back. I will, forgive, but I will also know how to put that person in that new space. Now I know this is how you are. This is what you do. You are not allowed to be that close to me where you can reach and hit me again. That's the way I think it.
Okay, Empress, with that said, say you're in a store and one of your sons accidentally pushed a cart over someone's foot and the person snaps on them and grabs them. Hey, boy, what are you doing? And then you saw that woman grab your child. Are you going to go and politely say to them, excuse me, that's my son that you just grabbed harshly like that? How would you handle that situation, Empress?
It may not be that polite because we have to be honest and be realistic. At that moment, your adrenaline is running. You see your child is hurt, you know, or somebody's causing harm to your child. So your reaction is going to be naturally aggressive. However, hopefully, depending on the person, of course, it wouldn't resort to a fight. I wouldn't walk up to her and just, you know, slap her or swing on her because, you know, she grabbed my son. You know, it's going to be, hey, you know, this is what you did. I don't like what you did. We need to resolve this. And what happens after there, it's, you know, a toss-up because who knows, everybody's personality is different. There's some people that would have had me walking up, would have hit me just because I'm walking up towards them. So.
Right.
It all depends on the scenario and the person.
I certainly agree with that. Let me bring Angela back in just for a second. And we are just about out of time. They're warning me. I got about 3 minutes. Angela, same scenario. Someone kind of, your child accidentally rolled over somebody's foot and you know, you're trying to do the Christian thing and be polite. I mean, what do you do, Angela?
I always teach my child to have some manners and apologize if she's in the wrong.
Right.
So that's what I will first do. But
there was an accident and the lady grabbed him.
Oh, then I'm popping off. I'm not going to be like everybody else. I don't have time to talk. I'm going over there and I'm going to slap the hell out of her straight up because that's a child.
I wouldn't grab
nobody else's child. I'll tell them to go get your mother. So I'm going to beat it up. But I would slap the hell out of a grown woman if they grabbed my child. Plain and simple.
Okay.
That's the only way people learn. That talking stuff is out the window for me.
Okay, so then you're saying later, you'll pray for forgiveness later? Is that what it is?
I'm not praying nothing. I handle each situation as it comes.
Okay.
And ain't no praying got nothing to do with it.
Okay.
Right now, all that Christ stuff is out the window at that point.
Okay, hold on. We're going to ask you to stand by, Angela. They are threatening me here. Perhaps I need you over here to take care of them for me. But hold on a second. We're going to take another comment. I got to compose myself here. Lady T, I'm going to give you this comment because it's telling me that we're almost out of time. This party writes in, says, this female, she says, I think some of us use church as an scapegoat, thinking that it will solve all of our problems, when oftentimes the problems are within us and the choices and decisions we make on a daily basis. Now, I mean, she pointed out something real important here, I thought. She says, we think that the church is going to handle all of our problems. Lady T, how realistic is that, if at all realistic?
The church is not there to solve all your problems. I mean, like she said, we all have free will. We all make the decisions at the end of the day. God gave us free will, and, you know, so the church is not there to solve all of our problems. Like another caller said, it's just a building, you know. you're going in there with, you have to go in there with the right intention and want to change and want to be able to, you know, make some decisions at the end of the day. But the church is not there to solve your problems. If you're going in there thinking that, then you're going in there with the wrong mindset. That's my opinion.
All right. All right. We're going to give you the final word. We've got about 60 seconds to go. Let me start asking Empress. Let me start with you. Why, just briefly in a nutshell, how can people change their attitudes who may be people that some of those people who go to church that are so unhappy? Just give us a thought on that, if you would. Empress, let's start with you.
I'm sorry, I missed it one more time.
The question was, just give us a thought, a brief thought, 15 seconds or less. How can we begin to change as an unhappy person? Let's say whether you go to church or not, how can we change and what do we need to change? Just briefly.
Very simple. Change your thoughts. Anytime something negative comes to mind, replace it with a positive. Even if it's something stupid as, you know, something silly as sunflowers. The moment something negative comes into mind, you immediately replace it with a positive. And you train your mind. That's how you train your mind to think positive.
All right. I like that thought. Change your thoughts. All right. Let me go to Stanley real quick and ask this question. Stanley, same question. How can we change, you know, from being an unhappy person, whether you go to church or not? All right, Stanley.
You want to say
Let
me hear it again.
10 seconds or less, Stanley. 10 seconds or less, Stanley. How do we change, you know, from being an unhappy person to a happy person?
Well, I see the only how somebody could change for that, they have to believe it. They have to believe in the Most High and believe in love. Because God is love, and you got to believe in Him. That's
okay.
The only way you could change. You can't.
All right. Thanks, Stanley, for that one. Let me go to Angela now. Angela, let's ask you that same question. How can you change from being unhappy to a happy person?
Well, in my belief, good comes with evil. So, I mean, I don't believe all that lovey-dovey stuff. Good and evil are all part of the same thing.
All right. Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by as we close tonight's show. Let me go to my personal trainer, Ashley, and ask, how do we change from being an unhappy person to a happy person?
Well, we first have to have an awareness that we are unhappy. If you don't know that you are something within you that you're unhappy, then you can't change. And then from that on, we need to go into our lives and see what is making us unhappy, and you can go from there.
All right. I like that thought as well. Let me go now to my co-host this evening, Lady T, and give you the last word. How do we go from being an unhappy person, whether we go to church or not, to a happy person? Lady T. Okay,
hello?
I must have lost. Yeah, Lady T, are you there? How do we go from an unhappy person to a happy person?
I agree with both Empress and your personal trainer. You got to re-examine your life. Find out what is making you so unhappy, and then begin to change that. Your thoughts also play a major role in that. Once you begin to shift your mindset, all will fall into place. So it's a combination of both Empress and the personal trainer input for me.
I like that too as well. And my thought on that is, how do we go from an unhappy person, whether we go to church or not, to a happy person? I say one key word is it's a decision that we make, a daily decision, if I can add that other word in there, a daily decision. And if I've got to decide on something, it would be to have joy. Every morning I wake up to have joy. Because when you've got joy, you've got a number of other components in there, which happiness fits within the word joy to me. And which means if somebody was to steal, to make you unhappy for the moment, because you have joy, it's not going to destroy your day. So every morning when I get up, I think about how important it is to have joy in my life. And with joy, because if somebody cuts me off as I'm driving to work or wherever I'm going, then it's like, you know what, for the moment, it may affect me emotionally for the moment. But then I got to realize that, you know, I've got joy. So I'm thankful that I didn't have an accident. So I think that when we have joy, you got thankfulness, you got all of these positive energies that are within you. And I think it was Empress that may have said earlier, you replace it like a sunflower. You put, when there's one negative seed that's planted, you plant it with a positive seed to alleviate that negative seed. So I think that it's been a very nice show tonight. I thank all of you all for your contributions. Those comments that we weren't able to get in tonight, we do apologize for that. Those callers who we weren't able to get to tonight, we apologize for that. If you want to try to get in, you need to call in like 10 minutes earlier before the show starts. Press 1 on your dial, and you'll be lined up in a queue so we can get you early. We're out of time now. We want to appreciate everybody that called in. My co-host, Lady T, it's always a pleasure having you on the air with me. I look forward to talking with you all next Thursday. But, of course, join us tomorrow for your half-hour inspirational program. If you choose to bypass tomorrow's program, join us back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Until Friday or until next Thursday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. That's a wrap. We're off the air.